Hello and welcome to another episode of Twimmel Talk, the podcast where I interview interesting people doing interesting things in machine learning and artificial intelligence. I'm your host, Sam Charrington. In this episode, I'm joined by GK Senthill, Director and Chief Product Owner for Innovation at Toyota Connected. GK and I spoke about opportunities and challenges for smart cars. We discussed Toyota's recently announced partnership with Amazon to embed Alexa in vehicles, and more generally, the approach they're taking to get connected car technology up to par with smartphones and other intelligent devices we use on a daily basis. We cover in-car voice recognition and touch on the ways that machine learning and AI need to be developed to be useful in vehicles, as well as the approaches for getting there. And now, on to the show. All right, everyone. I am on the line with GK Senthill. GK is Chief Product Owner for Innovation at Toyota Connected. GK, welcome to This Week in Machine Learning and AI.
I'm glad to be here, Sam.
Why don't we get started by having you tell us a little bit about how you got involved in AI there at Toyota?
Sure. My background is in software engineering. I've been in this field for about 18 years. I did my bachelor's in electronics and communication. So for the last 7 years or so, I'm fully involved in connected cars. Cars come in all shapes and sizes. And my relationship with Toyota was since 2011. And I've been with Hyundai and Toyota on and off in the last few years. So in the past year or so, I've taken a lead on this group within Toyota Connected called Innovation, which, you know, the objective of this is to find new products, new services, new ideas to enhance the connected car experience for our customers. And so that's where we started off with the machine learning and AI in terms of looking at conversational interfaces for our customers in various endpoints. And that's really how the involvement with AI and ML started. And we've been doing a few different things in that area over the past 9 months to a year.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible how, you know, just a few years ago, we would think of the at least those of us, yeah, or I guess I should just say myself, I don't know about anyone else, but, you know, I would think about cars as, you know, not very technology forward things, right? You know, you kind of have these built-in consoles that were, you know, many years behind what you get every day with your phone. And, you know, it seems like the industry is really waking up to the opportunity and really the way consumers want to integrate technology kind of across through their lives, I guess. I don't know. How do you think about the role of the connected car?
Yes, that's, you know, I'm going to say, tell me about it, right? So it's been a topic of everybody you know who's been using smartphones for the last few years, in the sense, like, you know, they have this piece of technology that's sitting in their hands that does various things, and then they go into the cars and, you know, what they see is really, you know, several years behind, like you said, in terms of not just the technology, it's also the user interface, how it behaves, and, you know, how it really helps customers carry on their connected lives into the vehicle. So we all certainly know that cars have a much bigger role to play, or can provide much better experience when it comes to connected lives. You know, average American, I heard, you know, probably commutes about 10 hours a week, or 6 to 10 hours a week. So that's a wasted opportunity right now. And without having this fixed, you know, what we see is more accidents, more distractions, you know, having customers trying to use their smartphone as a replacement for an in-vehicle device. It's not really designed to be. And, you know, I believe there's plenty of things that we can do to improve that, and you know, not just make use of this time in an effective way so customers are not distracted. So safety is one aspect of this. The other aspect is essentially making this time a lot more productive, a lot more joyful in the driving experience. You know, while we still wait for autonomous cars, which may take you know, 10 or year, 10 or more years to become mainstream, I think we still have a lot more to do in the connected car world.
One of the ways that the various car manufacturers have tried to allow us to safely engage with our vehicles is through voice interfaces. And this is, again, one of those experiences where, you know, for a few years now, like the phone kind of voice interaction experience was way ahead of the car interactive, you know, voice interface. But the cars are now talking about, I guess I see a couple of different strategies. One is just kind of advancing the technology. The other is just wholesale outsourcing it to, you know, things like Alexa or, you know, other companies' versions of those things. You know, how does that landscape look to you? And what's the approach to that at Toyota?
Yeah, I think you reached the core of this you know, current technology landscape in terms of, you know, how it's going to pan out. Mm-hmm. You're right. The existing versions of voice recognition, you know, operate on, you know, predefined phrases, and you have to be in a certain application in a certain screen to use certain words to utilize voice recognition. It's very frustrating. I haven't seen anybody actively using it successfully in their cars to, you know, and we spend a lot of money on this, so to actually put this in the cars, but you know, unfortunately, it's not really useful. So the next wave is obviously, you know, taking from the home experience where we have these virtual assistants sitting in terms of, you know, what you see as Alexa or Google Assistant. So, and of course, the smartphones provide similar experience. So customers want to carry that over. And that's obviously the next wave of the experience that's that, you know, the customers need in the car and what we also want to provide in the car. Which is, you know, fully natural language, you know, conversational, dialogue oriented, you know, use in, you know, it understands the context, it understands, you know, what your habits and provides response. So voice is definitely the key aspect of understanding what the customer needs. The technology that Google and Alexa brings and how that's going to fit in the car, you know, whether the automakers are going to outsource to these players, I think there are a few key things to understand. So the vehicle is not a smartphone equivalent. I think there are a lot of misconceptions. Yes, in a way, it is an extension of your digital life. It's another device. It's an electronic screen. So there is some comparison there. But also vehicle, you know, you are actually using it for driving from point A to point B. It's not a $1,000 device. It's a $30,000 device or a $40,000 device.
Right.
So as a customer, you know, I should be able to comfortably use my vehicle through my muscle memory. And there are a lot of things when it comes to just the user experience, how the customer interacts with a car versus a phone. So I believe it's a hybrid of, you know, the technology that Google or Amazon provides with respect to their assistance and deep integration into what the vehicle can do and, you know, how the vehicle ecosystem works. I think a hybrid of these would provide the best of experience to the customer. And we are actively working on this. We're actively looking into various aspects from, you know, user experience to data protection to privacy and, you know, all these different aspects on how this, you know, what the exact model that's going to help the customers. Ultimately, that's the aim here, to help the customers. So if you look at deep vehicle integration, we have access to the vehicle, you know, controllers, the data that comes out of the vehicle. You know, we know how driving works. We know automotive. So the virtual assistant in the car has to be, you know, able to take advantage of that, needs to know, you know, okay, my gasoline or fuel tank is just, you know, 10% more, and should I suggest a gas station nearby? And this is data that we have about the car, and we know that customer, you know, typically prefers filling it in the last minute versus, you know, some customers that are, you know, really talking about filling the gas tank when it's just a quarter more. So all these have to be taken into consideration building this experience.
Can you give some other examples of kind of how the, you know, when you think of this like hybrid experience that enables use cases that's not really attainable by just pulling in a third party thing like an Alexa, what are the things that like most jump out at you?
I think there are, you know, most customers, when you are in the car, you do, you know, three main things. So navigation, you want to go from, you know, one place to another place. You want to find, you know, interesting places to go or restaurants to go. So it's, you know, you can put everything under navigation. Definitely media consumption, whether it's music or podcasts or, you know, anything that you do in the car takes up majority of your time. And then communication, which is, you know, just essentially messaging, which is one of the most distracting aspects of vehicle. So these three key areas, you know, I firmly believe it needs to be customized for the vehicle and how the vehicle operates and, you know, how you interact with your steering wheel switches and other tactical knobs in a way. So these are some of the areas which could be done well by both the, you know, OEMs, the automotive OEMs, and the players that are out there. So this is something that needs to be carefully considered on how we do. The vehicle specific use case, one I already mentioned, like about knowing your fuel levels. Mm-hmm. The other could be about your driving behaviors, right? So, you know, there are use cases where you could actually essentially coach the driver on how their driving is, you know, take their emotions in future, you know, could be facial recognition. Are they tired? Are they sleepy? You know, are they frustrated? Are they driving it a little bit more rashly? Can, you know, we can detect all this. And so it's not, then it becomes not just voice, it becomes multimodal, right? So you're essentially being an assistant, listening, observing, and, you know, providing some suggestions. And this requires inputs from multiple vehicle sensors and knowing how the customer drives, right? And what are the different reactions in the vehicle systems that are causing this to provide, you know, and this could ultimately save lives or save time or, you know. So those are the examples I could think of, but you know, vehicle has, you know, various aspects to it when it comes to a life cycle of a customer on how they use the vehicle. So things that you could see like service, right? After like maintenance. So your oil quality is low. Do you want to take it for an oil change? So these are some other examples where you integrate with the dealership or ecosystem. And that's something where we can provide a lot more lot of value through the assistant.
What kind of approaches are you taking to kind of get there?
So without talking about any secret sauce, like I said, we're looking at, you know, from a plain natural language point of view, we're looking at, you know, conversational interfaces, building it, looking at variety of technology solutions that could satisfy this need and how that could be integrated into the vehicle ecosystem. I think that's kind of in a couple of statements summarize, you know, all the activities we do. And, you know, also, you know, just working with, you know, variety of players in this area and see, you know, what can be bought off the shelf, what can be integrated as a service. And those are also some of the things we are looking at. From an AI or ML perspective, it's essentially building this conversational interface and scaling it up for millions of users, you know, whether through vehicles or through the chatbots for customer service are also some of the things we are looking at.
And what's your assessment of kind of the landscape that you're seeing to date and kind of the readiness to support the vehicle use case? Like, are there, for example, in vehicles, connectivity can be intermittent, but you still have, you know, you potentially have people depending on these capabilities. Like, are those some of the challenges that you're facing? And do you see the technology as being kind of evolved enough to support those?
Yes, connectivity is it's a good question. So connectivity is one aspect that differentiates in a vehicle experience. So anything critical, you know, like we have services that can, you know, inform a call center operator on an event of a crash, right? So even those services currently rely on your 4G connectivity or wireless connectivity to operate. So, but those services can operate with limited data connectivity. They're sending small amounts of data, but when it comes to a voice experience, you're looking at, you know, streaming audio. So there's definitely a challenge, but I believe it's been improving a lot in terms of coverage and speeds. 4G is much more prevalent than, you know, just a few years ago, and it's going to be just upgraded to faster speeds, wider coverage. So we need to still design for it. We need to still design for connectivity issues. But I think given the nature of some of these services, most of them are non-critical. You know, we term them as infotainment service. So that should be something we can take care of. The main aspect we are looking at is, you know, a conversational voice interface in a vehicle is much different, could be much different than, you know, what you have at home or a smartphone. I believe that's where, you know, the product design has to evolve to capture that user experience and have the technology be able to support it, right? Mm-hmm. So simple examples could be in your vehicle when you're asking for something, if the vehicle keeps asking for confirmation, that could be very distracting, right? So there are certain things we need to work around or change in the way the users work with the vehicle, and also make it multimodal, right? Because we have a heads-up display, we have the dashboard, we have the multimedia unit as well. So how can the visual and the auditory output combine and work together to make this user experience better? So when you combine these, then even the technology has to adapt to these different multimodal inputs in a way. So those are, you know, essentially some of the challenges.
Has Toyota announced a specific set of partners around this voice assistant market? Or if not, you know, what's your general take on kind of the timeline for seeing that technology in vehicles?
We had already announced a partnership with Amazon and the CES. So some form of Alexa experience is going to be brought into the vehicle for the immediate term. Mm-hmm. I think for a more deeper integrated experience, it's going to take a few years. You know, I can't give a specific timeline now. I'm still looking into, you know, various aspects. But I think the future where we are looking at a variety of vehicle inputs and integrating into this experience is at least 2 or 3 years away for Toyota. Not to say that we won't have an experience before that. It's just that there are various levels to it, right? So when I talk about facial recognition and emotion sensing, I think those are definitely, you know, 3 to 4 years away. There's cost involved in having even a camera to recognize your facial expression. So some of those, it would depend on whether it's a luxury vehicle versus an economy vehicle. So those would also impact the timelines. In terms of partners, other than Alexa, I think we are working with, you know, different other players, not to name names, but, you know, hopefully we'll soon, you know, announce those partnerships in the next few months.
Were you at CES this year?
Yes, I was.
Oh, okay. I was there also. So maybe I'll ask you this question. I've been kind of waiting for someone, a good person to ask this question. So you guys announced this partnership with Alexa. And in fact, at, you know, CES, basically everyone was kind of announcing these partnerships with Alexa and Google Assistant. And like, do you feel like this is really consumer driven, or is this kind of the, you know, this ecosystem getting way out ahead of what consumers want? Like, I've got Alexa's around here and Google Assistant's around here. And, you know, they're basically, I say this all the time, like, I think the technology is amazing, and that over time it will evolve to be, you know, extremely useful. And I think that targeted voice interfaces definitely have a place. But right now, you know, I think of them as like expensive timers and alarm clocks. Right. It's the most expensive egg timer I have ever bought. And I'm just not sure that it's the consumer that is driving these things into refrigerators and washing machines and cars and ironing boards and like garage doors, everything. What do you think?
So I may have a different take on it. This is my personal opinion, not, you know, of course, not Toyota's, but, you know, I got the Alexa when it first came out to the market, pre-ordered it, same did with the Google Assistant, and I've been using it. And, you know, my wife's opinion was the same as yours. You know, why do we buy this expensive timer? You know, this just, you know, can do two things. But I think it has evolved over a period of time. You know, you started asking for weather and you started playing music. Now, you know, we can't live without it for playing music, right? So just come home, you know, and then say a command and you have a nice little background music going. So I think the utility, even though it is limited, it's expanding. And once you know, and this is where we, you know, there is an adaptation from the human side to say, this is how I use the technology to get the best use, right? So you know exactly what to ask. So my daughter knows exactly what to ask. And she knows if you ask it in a different way, it's not going to be useful. So I think when humans start learning how to use this technology for one thing at a time, maybe you're using it just for timer today, tomorrow you may use it for weather. So over a period of time, you start using it for minor things, I think. And then 6 months down the line, I take away all the Alexas and Google Homes from your home, you're going to be very frustrated, believe me. So I think there is utility. It's limited, but it expands and humans start to learn and adapt on how to use it for specific use cases at specific times. So there is definitely customer demand, and you could look at the sale of these units over the last holiday period. So, and take that into the car, it's, you know, whether it's customer demand or not, you need a really good conversational interface in the car. There's no better place than car for these kind of interfaces, right?
Yeah.
So there is part customer demand, but there's also part a need for this to have in the vehicle, you know, 10 years ago. And, you know, at least now we are starting to have these in the car. So right. I feel it's a well-deserved attention given to these technologies to be brought into the car. Better late than never. So
I agree that the car is one of the places where, you know, particularly when you've got the integrations that you've described all set up and figured out, you know, there's a lot of value there because, you know, until the car is driving itself, like, it'd be better for me to keep my eyes on the wheel than to, you know, dial a phone or change the temperature or whatever. So that said, like, when you think about an Alexa, what's the role of Alexa? Is Alexa a service at the front end that's doing kind of the speech recognition and, you know, is it a platform that's figuring out intents and all that kind of stuff? Or does Toyota develop technology, you know, or need to develop technology that does all that because that's where the integration needs to happen. And then Alexa is this back end kind of portal to a bunch of other consumer services.
That's again going to the heart of the problem on, you know, what we are dealing with. So you seem to have been involved in this for quite some time. So. But yeah, that's a very good question. Multiple people have multiple opinions on this. My personal opinion is we need to have these technologies as a base. You know, whether we build it or whether we get partners to do it, I think these technologies are going to be used in various different interfaces, right? So even things like chatbots for customer service. You know, today we have, you know, thousands of calls coming into our call center asking about how to use a particular vehicle system or how to use a particular setting in their navigation to do what they want to do. And, you know, we could reduce a lot of these customer calls with, let's say, a simple chatbot available through their messenger app or whatever. And then if you're able to do it really well, it's going to be much easier for the customer rather than picking up the phone to get answers. So I think the technology as a base is going to serve multiple endpoints, so we need to approach it from that perspective. And then your in-vehicle is just another or more you know, it's most important, but it's another interface for the customer. So if you look at it from that perspective, it's definitely imperative for us to have the technology to do this. And all these different ecosystems from these assistant providers bring all the integrations that they already have to add on to this experience.
I'm curious about maybe there's more of like culture, auto manufacturer culture meets AI, and like how that all works. And are there, things that you're seeing where, ways in which the organization is changing to adapt to kind of this new way of thinking about interfaces or things like that, or things that you think personally need to happen for large kind of engineering culture, traditional engineering culture driven organizations like auto manufacturers to adopt this technology?
Yes, and that's a good segue, so I can talk about Toyota Connected. That's the reason Toyota Connected was set up. So Toyota itself is a huge conglomerate that everybody knows. Toyota Connected is set up as a technology company to build this innovation from within, right? So typically the service providers or companies that specialize in product development, whether it could be AI, ML, or natural language or anything else for that matter, now they are not the automotive company itself, right? So as an automotive company, we know how customers, we know what customers want, we know how customers behave, we know how our vehicles behave. So just fusing these two, the technology and innovation capabilities with this domain experience is really a key area for us to move forward, right? So everybody has to become a technology company in order to survive in this new way of things. So, so that's the primary purpose Toyota, Connected was set up. So with the, our management encourages innovation. It's an open culture, startup atmosphere, except with a nice backing of the huge Toyota name. And that's essentially brought into, attract talent who can build this from within and make sure it gels with the customer needs, right? So it's like fusing this hardware and software together, built by the same player, has its own advantages. So that's what we are looking at doing in Toyota Connected. And I hope that answers your question. Is probably you're asking whether it's needed or not.
Yeah. It sounds like it is, and that's kind of the way you're addressing it. And so are there other ways that, or areas that Toyota Connected is looking at AI beyond? Well, you mentioned, we talked extensively about the voice interface. You mentioned chatbots as a customer service experience. Are there other ways that Toyota Connected is looking at AI?
Yes, Toyota Connected has built a connected, it's a car sharing platform, and you probably heard about it in CES when our president talked about ePallet and some of those services that come with the car sharing economy. And in fact, we had launched a pilot in Hawaii as well for car sharing. So that is going to give us some opportunity to optimize the sharing economy in terms of what are the best places in the town to keep cars so people can make it utilized. So there's demand forecasting, heat map. Can we change the pricing based on the demand so we can get better utilization of the car? So there's a lot of things that you can do with ML in the car sharing economy. There's also things around preferences, driver preferences, customer preferences to surface notifications. And then, like I said earlier, probably, areas like coaching, something we have started looking into using machine learning. So yes, there are plenty of other areas that we have started investigation on how we can best leverage AI and ML.
Awesome. Well, GK, thank you so much for taking some time out to tell us a little bit about what you're up to.
Thank you. Thanks. It's been a pleasure talking to you.
Great. Absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, everyone, that's our show for today. For more information on GK or any of the topics covered in this episode, you'll find the show notes at twimlai.com/talk/120. If you're new to the podcast and you like what you hear, or you're a veteran listener and haven't already done so, please head over to your favorite podcast app and leave us your most gracious rating and review. It helps new listeners find us, which helps us grow. Thanks so much for listening, and catch you next time.